This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
They said maybe Donald Trump is involved in projects with the Russians. The answer is no.
Nothing came of it. There is no Trump Tower in Moscow. No visit was made. For all the Trump Towers that have been erected all over the world, Moscow is not a place that has one.
How can you say with 100% certainty, given all the players here, there was never any more contact?
Hello and welcome to TrumpCast. I'm Virginia Heffernan. We promise to stay till this is over. But when will it be over and what is it? Is that Trump? The innumerable things he's broken, including our hearts and minds, the racist streak and the polity, the wide berth Trump has been given by the markets? Or will it be the Republicans or the Republic that ends? This really feels like being 9 months pregnant and being told you have to wait another month to give birth. When are those Mueller indictments going to come down? So the themes of this podcast lately have broken into when will it end? How will it end? What damage will be done before it ends? And what will happen after it ends? Those damage shows are on the shattering stuff like Harvey, Charlottesville, and the pardon of Joe Arpaio. They can get a little desperate, but while we're there, Houston Food Bank, which gets top marks from Charity Navigator, which kicks the tires of these places to be sure they're not scams, Houston Food Bank is accepting donations and using them effectively and generously to help victims of Hurricane Harvey. That's HoustonFoodBank.org. But today's show is not about all the damage being done to our great nation. It's a little more, well, feel good. And it's on the subject of how will it end? And it will end, as Donald Trump Jr. is my witness. The focus of the show is a former bit player in Trumpland. He's front and center this week. His name is Felix Sater. He's one of the carnies of Little Odessa with something more than ties to the Russian mafia, the president, and that crazy Kremlin. This week, the Washington Post and the New York Times reported that while Donald Trump was running for president, he was pursuing a plan to develop a massive Trump Tower in Moscow. A Russian-born real estate developer, that's Felix Sater, urged Trump to come to Moscow, promised that Putin would say great things about him if he did, and also back-channeled with Donald Trump's personal attorney, that's Michael Cohen, saying he could get Trump elected president with an assist from the Kremlin. Today, we're talking to the go-to person for all things Sater. He's Andrew Rice, a contributing editor at New York Magazine, who wrote the comprehensive story about the latest character to jump in on the Trump-Russia affair. We'll talk to Andrew right after this message.
This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Joining me on the line is Andrew Rice. He's a contributing editor at New York Magazine, whose most recent story is called The Original Russia Connection, about Felix Sater. Welcome, Andrew.
Thanks. I'm happy to join you.
So to me, Felix Sater is kind of part of the popcorn element of this story. He's the one I just can't hear enough about. Yeah, he's twisted and devious, but he's also extremely colorful, as he would say. Tell us about Felix Sater.
Well, Felix Sater is a guy who's in his 50s. He was born in Moscow. He was raised in Brooklyn. He's kind of a knockabout Brooklyn guy who came up from the streets. His father was a small-time mobster, or mob-associated individual. Felix went to go work on Wall Street, and he ran into a series of legal problems that ultimately culminated in him being indicted in a stock fraud scheme, a sort of pump and dump, like the Wolf of Wall Street type stock swindle.
Happens to the best of us.
That's sort of chapter one. He became an FBI informant during this whole time and actually helped to take down a bunch of pretty prominent mobsters who had gotten involved in these penny stock schemes, you know, circa around 2000. I don't know if you remember that there was a whole sort of a Sopranos subplot where they got into selling garbage stocks, and this was sort of like the real life corollary to it. And was working for the FBI, and during this time he was working as an undercover informant. He had to do something else as a day job. What he got into was real estate, and pretty quickly after he got into real estate, he had an office in Trump Tower, and he basically, the way he tells the story is he just showed up in Donald Trump's office one day and said, I'm going to be the biggest developer in New York and you want to be in business with me. And sure enough, Donald Trump got into business with him. They developed a couple of buildings together, most prominently the Trump Soho, which is in New York City, in the Soho neighborhood. And, you know, what happened this week was that it came out that as late as 2015 or early 2016, Sater was trying to build a development, a Trump Tower in Moscow. And he sent a series of emails to Michael Cohen, the personal attorney of Donald Trump, who was at the time working for the Trump Organization, kind of doing deals for the Trump Organization, also a personal friend of Felix Sater's from way back, saying that, you know, these business deals he was going to pave the way for these business deals via his contacts in the Kremlin, and that these contacts in the Kremlin would also be more than willing to help out Donald Trump in his efforts to become elected president of the United States.
I think on August 3rd, when you published this terrific long piece in New York Magazine about Felix Sater. So on August 3rd, you have him quoted as saying, in about the next 30 to 35 days, I will be the most colorful character you've ever talked about. We are under the wire for the 30 to 35 days. And I definitely want you to fill in color. I just want to be sure that I have straight this latest revelation. So late January of this year, 2017, after the inauguration, Donald Trump is the president. That's when Felix Sater met with these Ukrainian politicians. Is that right?
That's right. Well, there are other chapters in the whole Sater saga. So what happened is that, you know, after Trump was elected, the project for the Trump Tower in Moscow kind of dissipated. Sater claims because Trump decided that he couldn't run for president and build a tower in Moscow at the same time. Although it seems as if there is some evidence that they were more than willing to explore those two options simultaneously, at least for a while. The real estate project at some point sort of dissipated, and Felix Sater came up with another way to sort of leverage his relationship with Donald Trump. And that was by linking up with this Ukrainian opposition politician named Andriy Artemenko. He basically came to Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's personal attorney, with this potential peace plan in Ukraine. He had this whole idea that he was going to, you know, broker peace in the Ukraine and their civil war. And in the process, I think he had the ideas that there would be some business deals to be done at the other end of this in the Ukraine, and that he and Artemenko were going to, as somebody who met with them about these business deals said at the time, you know, they had visions of kingmaking, and that Felix Sater was going to sort of help make Artemenko the president of the Ukraine. Then they would have a friend in the White House and a friend in whatever Ukraine's equivalent of the White House is. And that would perhaps work out really nicely for him.
So why, when Donald Trump has worked fairly closely with Felix Sater, why would Donald Trump ever say he wouldn't, under oath, that he wouldn't know what Felix Sater looked like if they were in the same room?
Well, I mean, I think that question sort of answers itself. All I can do, I can't say what the man remembers or doesn't remember. All I can say is, you know, what the history is there, which is that Felix Sater, for many years, really from 2002 until 2008, was doing business and dealing with Donald Trump on a Sater claims on a sort of like almost daily basis. They were speaking, and there is substantiation for that from other sources that basically the company that Sater was involved with, which is called Bayrock, you know, was a very important development partner of Trump's during this time period of 2002-2008, when he was really kind of on the comeback trail because of you know, really the success of the Apprentice, which started then, gave him all these opportunities to basically do what are called licensing deals, where instead of actually risking anything or investing any money, he would just basically license his name to developers, and those developers would go out and raise the money, build the buildings, and so on, and be called, you know, the Trump Fort Lauderdale or the Trump Soho or the Trump Moscow. And
the licensors,
and he would,
the developers would get his name first, so then they could use that as part of the deal.
Right. And Sater referred to this as his Trump card, that his company basically specialized in doing these deals and was doing multiple ones, some in the United States. They were trying to do ones overseas as well. The point is that he was a pretty important business partner to Trump. He, by many accounts, took Donald Trump Jr. and Ivanka Trump on a trip to Moscow at Donald Trump Sr.'s request. He accompanied them, sort of like chaperoned them on the trip around Moscow. One of the sort of delicious details in the latest reports is that Sater claims that actually he arranged for Ivanka Trump to sit in the desk, in the chair of Vladimir Putin, in the Kremlin. So, you know, if there's a selfie out there of that, I'm sure that Robert Mueller will be very interested to see it.
Well, you know, he's scrolling through Instagram accounts right now. Mueller is.
If Donald Trump doesn't remember him, it would seem that maybe he's got some memory issues he needs to address.
Felix Sater not only gave a big business assist to Trump, but it looks like in the recently exposed emails with Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer, that he also had a promising plan to make Donald Trump, of all things, president of the USA, as he says. His email said, "Buddy, our boy can become president of the USA and we can engineer it. I will get all of Putin's teams to buy in on this. I will manage the process." For some reason, I love reading their emails. Okay, so "Buddy, our boy can become president of the USA. We can engineer it." So does this mean that Felix Sater might be the third of the royal roads to collusion that Jonathan Chait cites today in his column in New York Magazine? The first two, of course, are Don Jr.'s meeting with Paul Manafort, a couple of Russian agents, and Jared Kushner. And the second one is that Republican operative Peter Smith, who I think is since deceased, made an effort through Russian hackers to obtain Hillary Clinton's emails. Just a refresher. Is this exchange between Sater and Cohen maybe the third, at least visible, proof of or heavy suggestion of collusion between the Trump administration and the Russians?
Well, I mean, I think there's two ways to look at this. I mean, one is, you know, Michael Cohen says that Felix Sater is a salesman and he's given to sometimes exaggerating or being overly enthusiastic about the implications of any given business deal he was trying to sell to people. And I can say, having talked with him extensively for my New York Magazine story, you know, there's truth in that. He's a big talker. He loves to talk. He loves to talk about how important he is. He's certainly given to exaggeration. That said, a lot of what he told me really, you know, did end up checking out. Like, even the things that seemed like crazily preposterous. Like, for instance, he said, he told me when I was talking with him for this story that he had been a spy, that he had worked, you know, kind of in concert with the Defense Intelligence Agency, the American Defense Intelligence Agency, to obtain Soviet military hardware in the late 1990s after the fall of the wall. And he named the individual that he said was his handler. And sure enough, you know, that person was a real person, you know, and Freedom of Information Act requests indicate that he really did have contracts with the DIA to obtain this kind of hardware. So, you know, that's just like a small example of like Felix Sater, something that just sort of seems like a crazy thing that Felix Sater said, but that actually turned out to be true. Many people that I talked to have said that Sater does have contacts at high levels in Russia. As you know, in Russia, the line between sort of governmental elites and the kind of oligarchic business class is a very thin or non-existent one. So his business relationships that he has also
lead. Wait, the way you're politics. Describing it reminds me of the United States.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Current, I mean, I think the current United States.
That, you know, more and more, we're seeing that there's a our politics are sort of converging with their politics. So when, you know, when Cohen says that was just salesmanship, he was just exaggerating and so on, you know, we got to consider that against the evidence that, you know, that he really did have a lot of these sorts of contacts.
I do love how you make the point in this piece in New York Magazine that, like a lot of aspects of the Stranger Than Fiction era of President Trump, these stories were both conspiratorial on their face and, it turns out, verifiably true. So he is both, you know, like a figure of fun, a carny, and also somehow connected. And that's, I think, what your piece makes beautifully clear. Tell us just some of the things he has his fingers in that aren't directly related to Trump. The one I'm thinking of most importantly is that he's curing cancer. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I would call him up. I mean, I would call him up oftentimes in the like late afternoons. And every once in a while he'd pick up and sometimes he'd be in an expansive mood. You know, he's not really hiding. I said for an international man of mystery, he's actually pretty talkative.
Yeah.
So he would say things like, oh, well, you know, I'm working on a cure for cancer, but, you know, as my lawyer says, if I cure cancer, the headline's going to be, you know, Trump's gangster related ex-partner, you know, has a scheme to defraud Medicaid, you know, and he has a sort of like a kind of like winning wise guy, you know, personality in a way. He's a very charming individual. So I have no idea what this cure for cancer is about.
Well, it's isotope.
I just enjoyed listening to
it's
him.
Stable isotope driven, as I understand.
I'm not exactly sure what it is. He had a whole long explanation, but suffice it to say, Felix Sater is the kind of guy who, you know, who's got, he calls himself, he says he's the epitome of the deal guy. You know, he's got deals going and everything. He sees everything as transactional. And that another thing that was going on at basically the same time he was working with Trump is that he was working with a family of Kazakh banking and political people. They're basically that there's a allegedly sort of massive bank fraud and a political fraud in Kazakhstan that this family called the Krapanovs were allegedly involved in, and the Kazakh government was trying to get all this money that they stole back, and it turns out a lot of the money ended up in New York real estate, or at least some of it. And the stuff that was in New York real estate, guess who was involved in the middle of all of that?
Our evil Zelig.
Yeah, so he's now cooperating with this money laundering investigation. The Financial Times reported that, and they said he's been being compensated handsomely for his services. So Felix is like what a deal guy. Like he gets paid on the way in,
coming and going,
making the deals, and then he gets paid by the guys trying to recover the money. And this is why some people think that ultimately, I don't know if this is going to be the case or not, obviously, when you ask the sort of like how does it end question. But there are many, part of the reason why I was interested in him, and a lot of people I think are interested in him, is because he does have this history of selling information is not necessarily the word for it, but if he gets into trouble, if it suits his interests, he's more than willing to cooperate with authorities. So if you're Robert Mueller and looking at the cast of characters around Trump, and you wanted somebody to help guide you in terms of sort of understanding all these various different relationships, well, who better to talk to than a Russian American business associate of Trump's who also happens to have been a longtime highly valued FBI informant. And in fact, some members of Mueller's staff of prosecutors I have actually met Sater and were involved in all the way back in the investigation of the stock frauds back in late 90s, early 2000s. So Felix Sater is a person who's well known to many of these individuals as a kind of extremely useful cooperating witness, somebody who did all sorts of things, worked undercover, wore wires. Supposedly he was involved in investigating various different things that Al Qaeda was up to and the international arms black market. I mean, some of this stuff, it sounds like a preposterous, kind of spy thriller type of thing. You think, oh gosh, this guy's just a con man, but then all of a sudden, a transcript is unsealed in which federal prosecutors admit, like, yep, he helped us. He was somebody said, called him the key to unlock 1,000 different doors.
Amazing.
What a description. This is the guy who's the key and has been the key in the past. And now he may, in fact, who knows, he might have the key to the biggest question in American political history.
So he did promise, I'll say it again in your article, that in the next 30 to 35 days, that was August 3rd. So we're in that week. I'll be the most colorful character you ever talked about. He couldn't tell you about it before it happened. But he said, believe me, it ain't anything as small as whether or not they'll call me to the Senate committee. He seems almost excited. No publicity is bad publicity. No treason is bad treason for Felix Sater.
Well, we still don't know if that was a thing. It could have been,
we don't.
A different thing. Could have been a business deal. Could have been curing cancer. I did ask him if it was curing cancer, and he said it wasn't.
That's later.
Cancer the next 30 to 35 days.
That's Q1 of 18.
But he, it was unclear exactly what he meant by that. He must have known at that time that these emails existed. And he must have, I think, probably had an idea that they would be subpoenaed and turned over to, the way they came out, I believe, was that they were subpoenaed and turned over to the House Intelligence Committee and almost instantaneously leaked. So he must have had a sense that that was going to happen. So it's very possible that that was what he was referring to. Or maybe there's another thing going on that will make him even more colorful. You never know with Felix Sater. There's always, as he says, he's always got two or three balls in the air at any given time. So there may yet be other balls that we don't know about.
Thank you so much for being here, Andrew.
Okay, thanks a lot for having me.
And that's our show for today. Did you like it? If so, let us know by tweeting at us at RealTrumpCast. You can find the whole TrumpCast crew on Twitter. So again, just follow us at RealTrumpCast. Today's show was produced by Jason DeLeon, and I'm Virginia Heffernan. Thanks for listening to TrumpCast.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of four episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.